Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. How great is our God? Say it with me. How great is our God? That all might see how great is our God. I have so many things I would like to share today because we are talking about spirits. We're talking about being led by the Spirit to a great degree. And as I was endeavoring to teach on that, the Holy Spirit said something to me that was sort of revealing. Said, how can they be led by the Spirit when there's some very basic things that they have skipped over? And so that's where we were last week. So I just want to bring you up to speed so that we can have some coherence as we teach this message. Am I going in? Am I fading in and out? Okay, thank you. So we want to read for you Romans, the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 13th and 14th verse. For if you live in the flesh, it says after, but take my word, it's in. For if you live in the flesh, you shall die. But if you in the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body of the flesh, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of God. Now, this particular scripture sort of identifies who the true Son of God is. You know, there's two words that talks about being in the family of God, and that's technon, which means child, and then there is weos, which means true son. The son who has developed into a son. One who is legitimately a son. The technon means children. And a little child may not develop into what they should be. But it says, they that are led by in the spirit of Yahweh, they are. And so that should put a question in our minds and a desire in our hearts to be led by the Spirit. Am I right or wrong? If those who are led by the Spirit of Yahweh are the true sons of and daughters of Yahweh, then I should be thinking, how can I be led, or am I led in the Spirit? Because if I am not led in the Spirit, I am not really a true son of daughter or daughter of Yahweh. And so that got us on our quest to not just to identify the sons and daughters of Yahweh, but to identify the reasons that we are or are not. I think that's more important than trying to identify those who are or are not, is to try to identify what it is that makes us sons and daughters of Yahweh. Is it simply that we got baptized? Is it simply that we got filled with the Holy Ghost and now everything is hunky-dory? And now it's smooth sailing? Or is there more? And then I want to read to you, because we've already gone over this, but if you don't mind, I just simply want to do this. Because I think in the day we live in, and we'll talk about that a little bit, it is important that we do this. And that was in Matanyahu 24:10. And it said, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity does abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." And so the point I was making is that sometimes we are so impacted by the world that it divert us from actually the things that we should be concerned about. And we looked at Second Kepha, the second chapter. Then I'll get into, maybe I'll get into what I'm talking about. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just stay here. The second verse, the 6th through the 8th verse. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." And the word conversation means the lifestyle. "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So what Kepha is trying to say here is that many times we get so enthralled in the world and the world views and the world morality that it vexes our spirit and causes us to lose our enthusiasm for Yahweh. So we're living today in a decadent world. We're living in a time that we've never lived in before. Now, some of you are young, and so therefore you think what we are seeing today has always been. But it has not always been. And so the Bible said there would come a day when they would call good evil and evil good. Amen. So we are living in that time, and certainly we are being impacted by it. You are a superstar if you have a certain sexual orientation. You become a TV star if you have a certain sexual orientation. It has nothing to do with anything that you have done. But it has to do with the way you have sex and who you have sex with. Now, y'all got to endure with me because this, we got to deal with it. Because if we don't deal with it, the church people will get the idea that some of these views are legitimate. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I don't even want to know. Amen. I don't want to know. Don't think you're going to get on my good side by coming out. Amen. You'll get on my bad side. Though you told me something I shouldn't have known. Amen. And so Kepha is trying to say, down in Sodom and Gomorrah, some things became so normal that it was an open lifestyle that vexed a righteous man, that his spirit was vexed. And then add to all of this chaos, this lying and thieving that's done in America today. Add to that folks who call themselves Christian, evangelical, conservative, mostly Anglo-Saxon. And their racism, their hatred, their lack of compassion, their cross-talking and demagoguing can confuse those who are Christian of what a Christian really is. And some would say, well, maybe all of the right-wingers, evangelicals, conservatives are not like that. Well, I might agree with you. But the Bible said, in the English text, let the redeemed say so. The Hebrew text said, the redeemed will say so. So if you're not part of it, you ought to say so. Amen. Because the redeemed will what? They will say so. So if you don't say something is wrong, you become complicit in it. Amen. You don't have to actually participate in it, but you knew it was going on, and you didn't call the law. Wow. So that made you complicit in that situation. But there's a reason that these things happen, and there's a reason that the church is weak today. Now, I'm going to say something I'm not criticizing. I just simply want to say. We are supposed to be strong every day. We are supposed to be standing in the love and the power of Yahweh every day. But we find ourselves having to come down for prayer every week almost. If you got to come down, come on down. But that's not the ideal situation. The ideal situation is that we live for Yahweh every day. We are strong in the power and the might of Yahweh every day. That we are praying for ourselves every day. Amen. And so the Bible says, be strong in Yahweh and in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh that you might be able to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's your responsibility to stay strong every day. Every day. You get involved with this world, and before you know it, you're involved with the with the sitcoms and all of that. You're watching and Arsenio Hall. Is that Arsenio? You're watching all of this stuff. Amen. I'm not going to ask you how many are doing that, but I'm just saying. Amen. You're watching pornography, or almost pornography. So, well, you don't have to watch much to see pornography today, do you? Just turn on the TV, and there it is. Amen. But there's something that the church is lacking, and it is so basic that we don't see it. And David, last week, or 2 weeks ago, reminded us of what that is. And we will turn to Tehillim, which you call Psalms 116th division of Psalms, in the 12th verse. And this is a question asked by David. And here's the question that he asked: what shall I render unto Yahweh for all his benefits toward me? And what we see here is a man who understands that Yahweh has done some wonderful things for him or her, and they are so appreciative and thankful that they are not thinking about what they can get from God, but they are thinking about what they can give back to Yahweh for all of his benefits. And last week we found out what they were. David said, he forgave me all my sins. Hallelujah. Now, some of you, you might thought you wasn't much of a sinner, but you were. Amen. Some of us knew we were sinners because we were master sinners. We were master sinners, you know what I mean? Amen. We sinned every day and knew exactly how to sin and how to get as much out of sin as we could. We were master sinners. But sin always lead you to a road of destruction. And one day, I don't know about you, but I came to a point where life was not worth living. If this is what it was about, if this is all that it was, then life did not make any sense. Are y'all getting it? If life is just only about these little menial things that we do, it don't make sense. So I felt like, hey, maybe I should just simply end it all. Amen. But I know most people don't think that far. Most people can't think any farther than when they got up that morning, what they're going to drink that night, or what bar they're going to go to, or what man or woman they're going to seduce. But you can seduce all the people you want to, and it don't help you inside. But David, understanding that Yahweh had changed his life and Yahweh had done so much for him, his question was, what can I give back? Because he's forgiven me what? All of my sin. He said he healed what? All of my diseases. He redeemed my life from destruction. He crowned me or surrounded me and still surrounds me with his mercy and his grace.
And he says another thing. And he filled my mouth with good things so that I can. Now, the English text said, so that your youth is renewed. But the Hebrew text said, so that you can renew your youth. You get that? He gave, put something in your mouth that would renew your what? Your youth. It doesn't mean you're going to stay 15 or 16 or 30. But you won't go around dragging and barely able to walk when you're 55. Amen. He will renew your strength, renew your youth. You can do things even after you hit 78. Amen. But he put it in your what? Put it in your mouth. And that's one thing that the church world has not yet grasped. We grasp the fact that we can ask for stuff and confess for natural stuff like, I need a car. I confess I have a car. I confess I got a house. But he said it was more serious than that. What good is a car when you're 60 years old and your feet don't even move enough for you to drive it? Amen. So he said, he put something in your mouth that you can renew your youth. Have you seen people that are 50 years old and you would swear they're 70? They 40 and you would swear they were 65? You ask them, are they getting ready to collect Social Security? And they tell you, oh, no, I'm not nowhere near that. Well, that's the reason. But for the believer, you need to know what it is that he has put in your mouth. And that he has put in your mouth, what you need to do with it to, in order to have it to work on your behalf. Because whether you know it or not, you can block yourself. How many of you knew that? How many of you know that your worst enemy is you? Amen. So let's turn to Mishlei 6. And you call it Proverbs. Now, let's read it in the English text. 6:2. Thou art, you got it? If you got it, say amen. Thou art what? Snared with the words, what? The devil messed me up. Thou art snared with what? With what? The words that came from the devil. The words that came from whose mouth? Your mouth. You were trapped in the words. This says Bible. When you see Bible, you know it's always in the Hebrew. You are snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now the Hebrew text said, you was snared. See, it's not talking about something that is happening today or something that will happen tomorrow, but it's talking about something happened in the past that's blocking you today. You're wondering why I'm going through what I'm going through. You're wondering why things are happening in my life that are happening in my life. And so he answered the question, say, you was snared by the words of your mouth. He put something though good in your mouth that if you use it properly, you can renew your youth.
Yeah.
So that means that you've got to be careful what comes out of what? Your mouth. Your mouth is the most dangerous part of your body. Amen. Kepha said, how can bitter and sweet water come out of the same fountain? He's talking about your mouth. Are you going through something today and you're a believer? Is there things happening in your life today? It's not something that's happening today. It's not something that happened today. It's something that you said in the past. Look like everything go wrong for me. Whoop. You're trapped. Look like things ain't gonna ever get any better. You're trapped. You trap yourself. But he put the good things in your mouth. You should be confessing his word. But instead, you're confessing your feeling and your mind. So he said, you were snared by the words of your mouth. You were captured in the words of by mouth. Nobody did it. The devil didn't do it. Listen to what the Bible said. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemy hurt you. Now, either Yeshua lied or you lied. Which one did? That'd be you, right? He said the devil has no what? Power over you. Whatever you did, whatever's happening to you, you did it yourself. By the words of your what? Your mouth. Because he said, I gave you power. Well, first what he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Huh? And then he continued by saying, behold, I give you power. So he said, Satan lost his power over you when you became a believer. Amen. And the only power he has is the power that you give him through what you say. So you was trapped. Can I untrap myself? Yeah. By using the words that was put in your mouth, in your heart, right? By the Holy Spirit, through the word of Yahweh. Rather than saying it ain't gonna get no better, you say it's already better. Hey, come on now. Hallelujah. I'm already a victor. I've already overcome. I'm not talking about overcoming tomorrow, but I'm an overcomer already. I was an overcomer yesterday. I was an overcomer last month. I was an overcomer from the time that I came to Yeshua and was saved. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I am an overcomer in Yeshua. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now I have the power. Hallelujah. I have the power. I have the power. And since I do, I'm going to speak words of power. I'm going to speak power. Amen. Now look at Tehillim 17. Just right back. See, we need to get the basis down for before you start trying to be led by the Spirit. Led in the Spirit, you can't be led in the Spirit if you don't have no kind of appreciation of what has happened already in your life.
If you think that something wonderful has not happened in your life, something powerful, then you can't win. Now listen to this. Fourth verse of Tehillim 17. Concerning the works of men, by thy word, by the word of thy lip, I have kept me from the paths of the what? Concerning the works of men. In other words, the things of men is not the thing that has kept me. But it was by the words of what? Of thy lips. I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyed. You don't have to always be calling on help. You already got what you need to keep yourself. Why are you always whining and complaining and running down for prayer when you already have the power? He says, I put it in your what? I put it in your mouth. And David says, concerning the works of men, men get in trouble. But I have kept me from the paths of what? Paths of the destroyer. Why? Because the word always works. There's power in the word itself. Yeshayahu 55. And the reason that I'm spending so much time on these things is that you think we have seen something? You haven't seen anything yet. This world is tumbling down to hell. There are no values. There's nothing. You can't depend on anybody. You can't depend on your government. You can't depend on anybody you elected. They're all bought up. They're all sold out. The only person that you're going to be able to depend on is Yahweh. And if you're not up to it, if you don't understand who you are, if you don't understand the power that you have, you'll be just like them. Because the Bible is sometimes mistranslated on purpose. Remember in Bereshit, I used to read, when Adam and Eve fell, it said in the English text, they have become as one of us. And this is Yahweh speaking. I said, God, how could they sin and become like Yahweh? That don't make no sense. But since I didn't have it, but when I learned Hebrew, it said they have become as one of them. And one of them is the old fallen spirit that fell with Satan. See, they have become as one of them. They have rebelled. And now they are just like those who fell with Satan. Now, let's read this. See, because it's hard to, normally I'm upstairs working at Bible class. And you say, well, why are you up there working? Don't you need the word? I got more word in me than you'll ever find in your lifetime. Amen. You ought to read the Sunday school material. Some of you don't, because you don't come to Sunday school and you're too cheap to buy the book. The book only costs $7, but you're too cheap and you don't have enough time to read it because you are too involved in the television. So I'm up there writing, trying to get something for you. But I look outside, I look at the cars, and I realize very few of you are in Bible class. And you wonder why you're having so much trouble. You're wondering why things are not working right for you. And sometimes you begin to think God is against you. Because everything you do falls apart. But because you're not doing what you should do, you're supposed to be getting the word. And so I look out in the parking lot, it's almost empty. You know, you got about 15 cars. And I wonder, do they really understand what they're missing? And I'm sure that you don't. Yeshayahu 55:10. For as the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither. Other words, the rain don't come down and go back up by itself, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may grow seeds to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, I've preached this text many, many times. But it's simply saying, and if you have been observant, that if it rains, something is going to grow. You can go out to the Mojave Desert, which don't get any rain for maybe 10 months out of the year. And those 10 months, there's nothing there but sand and dirt. But let it rain, and you go out to the Mojave Desert, and the desert is full of beautiful flowers. That's what he's talking about. If it rains, something is going to grow. Now, keep that in mind. Okay, now watch. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seeds to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall what? So shall what? If you allow the word to rain on you, so shall my what? Word be. As sure as things will grow if it rains, if you'll get my word, your life is going to take on a beautiful bloom. You're going to be able to grow. Now listen at this. So shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or without results, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I what? I sent it. God said, look, your problem is you're not letting the word rain on you. Huh? Hey, amen. I look out the window, and I know you, the word is not raining on most of you. If I asked you to hold your hand up today, you who was at Bible class Wednesday night, how many hands would I get? Hallelujah. So shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return what? For it will accomplish that whereunto I what? Sent it. But the word is not going to materialize out of the sky. It's already in your mouth and in your what? Heart, if you allow it to be there. And it will cause your life to take on a different color. Different dimension. a different growth. And so David said, he has put what? Good thing in my mouth that I will renew my youth like an eagle. Think about it. How many of you know anything about an eagle? Man. An eagle's youth is not renewed just because it's renewed. But he swoops down and lands on the rock or wherever he lands. And he picks out all the old withered feathers. See, sometimes you all got too many old stuff in you. You need to land. And when he picks out all the old and withered feathers, new and vital feathers grow. And then he mounts up like he was 5 years ago. But we just out here flying. And the old feathers getting bad. After a while we find we don't fly so high. And then when we land, we still ain't taking out the old stuff. See, there's some stuff in your life that you need to pick out through the word. Amen. Then you can mount up on wings of an eagle. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, those are the things Yahweh has done for me. You see, he's forgiven all my sin. He's healed all my disease. He has redeemed my life from destruction. He has crowned me with his mercies and his tender mercies and tender grace. And he has supplied some good things in my mouth that I can renew my life like an eagle. Look, the word backs it up. The word said, let the weak say. But we say what? I'm not as strong as I used to be. Let the weak say what? I'm strong. You know, people are always trying to get you to say. So people say to me, you know, you ain't like you used to be. But I'm still strong. I'm still strong. I can still run. And I can still walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you had people come to you and say, are you sick? You look like you're sick. Do you have the flu?
No. I am healed in the name of Yeshua, because it said here what? He's healed all of my what? Diseases. No, I'm not sick. I don't even feel sick, even if there's some feeling there. I feel like I'm strong. Because the word of Yahweh said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the married couple say, we're happy. Amen. Now, we having some trouble. We not getting along too good. If he would just change, and he said, if she would just change, we would maybe get along. Man, you don't know about these women. We're happy, right? We're happy. Look at your wife and say, we're happy. You got to be happy. Look at your husband and say, we're happy. Look at your husband and say, we're happy, wives. All right, come on now. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what happened yesterday. We are happy because the word of God said he's put joy in our heart. I'm not feeling bad here today. I'm feeling good. Amen. 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 Now, then go back to Tehillim 160. Ooh, time has fly. And so David would say, what shall, the 12th verse, what shall I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefit unto me? I'm not thinking about what Yahweh can do for me. I'm thinking about what I can do for Yahweh. What can I give back to God? Right? He's been so what? He's been so good to me. See, David understood that his life had been changed. And now he begins to talk about, and I'll just open it up, but it's getting late, what he can do. He said, 13th verse, I will take the cup of salvation. What? I will take, it says in his text, I will take the cup of salvation. The Hebrew says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. So there's two understandings here. In other words, there's so much in my salvation that I can drink deeply from that's there. But more than that, I will what? Lift up the cup. And the whole idea of the Hebrew is nasa, meaning to elevate. I will drink from the cup of salvation and I will elevate my what? Salvation. I will elevate my salvation until it's on the top shelf of my life. My salvation is more, means more than anything to me in my life. I will lift up my salvation. And daily I will drink from that fountain of salvation. It is on the top shelf of my life. You can do what you want to do. You can act any way you want to act. But I'm lifting up my salvation. My salvation is the most important thing. See, we allow things to pull us down from our salvation and begin to zero in on the thing. But David said, I will lift up the cup, symbolizing drinking from it, but also symbolizing raising it to the highest height of my life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my salvation means more to me than anything. Now watch this. Now watch this. Watch this. He didn't say your salvation, but he says what? My salvation. See, my salvation is not depending on your salvation. You do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to lift up my what? Salvation. If you're my husband and you don't want to be saved, I'm going to still lift up my salvation. Because my salvation has nothing to do with you. If you're my wife and you don't want to be saved, I'm going to lift up what? My salvation. My salvation has nothing to do with you. You might try to block myself. You might try to pull me down. But I'm going to still lift it up. And I'm going to say to you,
Go any way you want to go. Do anything you want to do. If you want to leave me because you don't like that I'm saved, then hayako. Amen. You say, Pastor, you don't mean that. I do. When I first got saved, my wife said to me, because she didn't know nothing about this. They talk about speaking in tongues. You know, my wife, they found what happened. You know, good Baptists don't want to speak in tongues. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I came back to the house. I got all this material about, but the fire came down like heaven and it sat up on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And my wife said, I don't want that mess. And she said to me, she said, you got to make a choice between me or that mess. I said, I've already made mine. You got to make yours. I've made mine. I'm going to go on with God. So she began to weep, and she said, I'm so sorry. She said, I'm so sorry. I should never have said that. See, that's the good thing. If you got a good woman, she'll come down. If you got a bad one, she won't ever come down. You might as well leave her on top of the house and you can go someplace. Amen. The Bible says it's better to dwell on the housetop than in a big mansion with a feuding woman. Well, don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. And let me tell you, it's true. There ain't nothing worse than having to fight every night you come home. Box over nothing. Why you come in with them pants so dirty? Well, I've been working. You know what that means, working? I'm getting tired of washing and having to sweep up behind them old pants you bought and got dirt on. Well, that's what happened when you're working. But it had nothing to do with work. She just want to hound you. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. There's men like that, too. There are. There are men like that. They want to start an argument over anything. You always wear that old crazy hat. Why don't you put it off? What's that got to do with anything? But he says, I am going to lift up my what? Salvation. My friend, your salvation is the best thing that ever happened to you. You might not recognize it, but it is. And your salvation should be filled with joy. Look at Yeshayahu 12, and then I'll finish here. But if you got to go, go. If you just can't hang around and you're mad and you say, if you keep on, I'm going to leave. Well, leave. I'm still going to finish this. Amen. Don't threaten me. Just kidding. Okay. I'm not having a moment here. Amen. 12th chapter, first verse. Now look. This is a prophecy that was made many, many hundreds of years before Yeshua came. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforted me. He said there is a day coming where I'm going to be able to say, Yahweh, I will praise thee. You were angry with me. What do you mean? Because Yahweh is angry with the sinner every day. But when I came to Yeshua, your anger was what? Turned away. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, for Elohim, Yahweh, this Jehovah just missed the mark. Is my strength and my song. He's my what? Strength and my song. How many of you sang before you get to church sometime? You ought to have a song in your heart. If you saved, you ought to be, you have a song in your heart. It just should come out. Amen. He's my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. Therefore, with sadness, with a lot of problems, with a lot of turmoil, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water. Remember, he's drinking from the cup, now he's drinking from the well. And as you draw, you get happier. See, some of you stopped drawing 30 years ago. You know what I mean? You drew when you first got saved. You were so happy to be drawing and drinking in your salvation. All of a sudden, you got too tired to draw. And you left the well. But the well is still there. All you have to do is what? Draw. Therefore, withdraw joy. Why are you all so sad? Why are some of you so sad? Why are some of you on Facebook looking for joy? Why are you telling all your business? Why are you pasting up your name and talking about you are hip rock? You slicky Mickey. You down with the round. You cool daddy. You ought to be drawing, man. Facebook ain't got no water to draw from. You see, some of you on Facebook, you're saying some stuff that no saved person should ever be saved. Amen. Sweet mama. Sexy Sarah. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. Y'all ought to be ashamed. Therefore, with what?
Joy
shall you draw waters from the well of what? From the wells of what? And in that day, you will say, that is if you're drawing water, you will say, praise Yahweh. Call upon his, call in his name. Make mention of his doing among the people. You're a witness. Make mention that his name is what? Is exalted. Sing unto Yahweh, for he has done excellent thing. This is known, that is known in what? David said, what can I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? I will lift up a cup of salvation. Everybody raise your hand up like this. Say, I will lift up,
my cup
of salvation.
Salvation.
Hallelujah. Give him a big hand clap. And Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for...